How are you guys doing today? Sweet. So if I haven't met you, I'm Dove. It's an honor to get to share with you this morning. I'm amazed. It seems like the more I learn about God, the more I realize there's such a mystery about God. And the more I learn of one thing, it seems like there's another kind of complementary aspect of God. So for example, God is transcendent, which means he is way beyond us. He's beyond the physical world. He is above the entire universe. And yet, he's also present. He's also intimate and involved. God is both of those. Jesus, when he was here on earth, he was completely God and completely man. And so, people that argue that he was completely man are right. And people that argue that he was completely God are right. As I think through some of these things, it's wild. Even this week, I feel like God is telling me that we should be strong and confident and full of victory. And then he continues to humble me and break me down. Like, can't I just have one and focus on that? But God is in the middle of some of these tensions. He's in the middle of the mix. And both of them are true and both of them are right. There's just so many things that are like that. So today I want to talk a little bit about one of those, and that's that God is always pleased with you. And that God is not always pleased with what you do. And so this morning I want to tell you, and I wrote it as you bring pleasure to God. And so if you only remember one thing from today, I want you to remember that. You bring pleasure to God, which absolutely amazes me. That the God of the universe, who created all the planets and stars and all the life, who knows every little detail, who knows every hair on your head, who knows everything about us, who is in it all and above it all, we can actually affect him. We can actually please him. We can actually cause God to have pleasure. We can actually bring joy to God. Isn't that amazing? He's not just some distant force. God is actually touched by us. We actually bring him joy. Do you feel that? Do you feel that you bring God joy? That you bring his heart delight? He enjoys you. His heart quickens. He dances over us. He enjoys us. He delights in us. And we bring pleasure to God. So I want to look at that today. Even I think it's helpful to think of our own kids or the relationship between parents and kids, even as we look at this. Although God is a father, but he's also he's not a human father. So he's also all these other things. He's also a master and he's also a creator. But God is our father. So as I think about my own dad, it's amazing to me that I can realize that I actually brought pleasure to my dad. And my dad loved me so much. And I think more than even any of my other siblings, I really got that my dad loved me. I knew at the depth of my being that my dad loved me. And some of my other siblings grew up in the same house, same circumstances. I think they questioned, does my dad really love me? Am I really important to him? Does he really care for me? And I'm sure in this room there's all kinds of different stories. Some of us had fathers that did not show that they loved us. And that was a very rare thing to actually experience love from our dads. And I think it's easy to project that on God. This is how God is. Certainly as a kid, our very first understanding of who God is from our parents. And it's really hard to break out of that. Wow, God is actually bigger than my parents. And yet, as a young child, that's how it's formed. So some of us had fathers that were really hard to please, that were maybe never, we never knew if they were pleased with us. We were constantly striving to try to earn their acceptance or to do something to know we were loved, and yet we never got it. And so I think some of those things make it hard to understand, hard to come to God in that. But God is a God who always loves us. I appreciated the worship this morning just with that message. His heart won't stop coming after us. What an amazing thing, and how true. Why don't we pray and talk about God's pleasure? Thank you, God. Thank you for this morning. God, I give you myself. I feel a little bit broken down and humbled, and I ask that you would just put me out of the way. I ask that you would speak to each person here, that you would speak to them, that they would know the truth of your words, that your word would penetrate hearts, that it would soften our hearts. God, I ask that you would teach us today, and I ask that you would just be here and tell us what you think about us, God. Don't let people hear words from me, but I want you to speak. I want you to tell people what you think about them. I want you to tell me what you think about me. And I want to listen to that. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start with this consistency and unconditional part of God. God consistently and unconditionally loves us. Consistently, all the time, unconditionally, regardless of if we've done something we think is great or if we've done something that is really lousy. God unconditionally loves us. It's not based on our performance. It's not based on our merit. It's not based on what we've done. It's not based on our works. It's based on the fact that God is love and He loves us unconditionally and constantly. And for that reason, there's some things that God will never do. God will never stop loving you, ever, because He is love. He would stop being love. He would stop being God if He stopped loving you. God will never leave you or forsake you. It's one of my favorite promises. God says to us, I will never leave you. No matter who else does, I will never forsake you. God will never stop being good to you, regardless of what you do or where you go. God will never stop being good to you. What an amazing thing. God will never be unfaithful to you. He will never betray you. He will never abandon you. Even if we are completely faithless, He will be faithful to us. He will never abandon us. He will never cheat on us. He will never betray us. He will never be unfaithful to us. Hallelujah. And I know that's hard to fathom based on our experiences with other people, broken people, but God is God, and He always, always, always loves us. He will never give up or stop pursuing you. His heart won't stop coming after you. Just like someone who searches their house looking for a lost coin, just like a shepherd who loses a sheep and goes after it and won't stop until he finds it, just like a father whose son has ran away and he longs for him every day and rejoices when he returns, God will never give up on us. God will never take away His presence, even as we sang part of Psalm 139. Even if I go to the depths of Sheol, the place of death, the place of the grave, even there I cannot escape the presence of God. His presence is always, always, always there. There is no pit where He is not deeper still. He will never remove His Spirit from you. Jesus came and gave His life as a sacrifice for us, for all of us. He died that we might be forgiven, that God's wrath might be satisfied, that the punishment and the rules against us would be put on Jesus, and we would be free. And he was raised to life that we could have new life, that we could experience a new life, that we could experience a new life now, and we could experience a new life in heaven to the fullest with God one day. And it's available to anyone who believes, not by works, not by earning it, just by believing. And Ephesians 1, it says, at the moment you believe, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. And so from the moment of belief, it's not from the moment of whatever you do or something, from the moment you believe in Christ and you put your faith in him and say, I no longer put my faith in myself, I put my faith in Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. And I invite you, if there's anyone who has never put their faith in Christ, I invite you today, I'd love to talk to you. Put your faith in Christ. Invite him into your life. Let his life take over your life and have his way in you. And from that moment, he will never take his Holy Spirit away. His Holy Spirit is a seal guaranteed to be in us. And he dwells in us. He adopts us into his spiritual family. And that adoption does not get revoked ever. Even if you screw up, you're still in the family. You're still adopted in just by faith. What an amazing thing. So these things are constant. And because of that, because by faith we've been received into his family, anyone who is his child brings pleasure to God automatically. Just by being his son or daughter, you bring him pleasure. And if I think of my own kids, regardless of what they've done, they always please me just by the fact that they're my kids. And I love what the Father speaks to his son, Jesus, after he was baptized. Jesus was baptized, and when he came out of the water, heaven opened and the Holy Spirit ascended like a dove. And in Matthew 3:17 says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So cool. And maybe it was part of his being obedient to get baptized, but a big part is just he's his son who he loves. And Jesus delights in you because you are his son, you are his daughter whom he loves. And with you he is well pleased. And I hope at some level you got that from your parents. If you didn't, that might be harder to hear from God. But God is pleased with you merely for the fact that you are his son or daughter. I got that deeply from my dad. I remember one time he introduced me to a friend and he said, this is my son, Dove, with whom I'm well pleased. As he's introducing me to somebody, I'm like, okay, Dad, I know where those words come from. That like gives me the chills. Like, you're just saying a lot. You're saying you love me like God the Father loved his son, and pronouncing that to somebody else. I want to play for you guys an audio today. 3 months before my dad passed away, he called and left me a voicemail, and I was able to record it. And I want you to listen to that and just hear what he says. And it's not because, hey, I'm really proud of the education you got or what you did, but just that he was just glad that I'm his son. Would you play that, Jed?
Hey, Dove, it's your dad. I've been thinking about you an awful lot lately, and for a long time even, and I just haven't connected to a phone, and finally, hi. I love you. I'm glad you're my son. I look forward to talking to you soon. I'll try calling you later. Love you. Bye-bye.
I don't have a lot of things from my dad, but that's one of the treasures that I have. And I love how he says in there, he says, hey, Dove, it's your dad. I'm glad you're my son. And I think my dad actually felt joy. It wasn't just like a, I don't know. I'm just going to use this word because it sounds nice. But that he actually was glad. Like he actually, I actually brought happiness to my dad. And you bring happiness to God. You bring joy to God merely for the fact that you're his son or daughter. And I think that's hard to soak in sometimes. I want you to soak that in. You bring joy to God's heart. You make God smile. Just because you're his son, you're his daughter. And that joy is so rich and amazing, worthwhile. Such a blessing to know and to experience. And I think there's many things in us that kind of hold that back. Nah, not me. I can't bring God joy. I'm pretty screwed up. Yeah, tell me about it. I got a lot of weaknesses. And I have a lot of unmet expectations in myself. It's really hard for me to live up to my own expectations. Really hard. In fact, I very rarely do. And yet, God is not a hard God to please. God is pleased by you, and you bring him joy. I think if we knew his smile, if we could really feel him smiling at us, it would touch something deep in us and actually bring us to a place of just desiring that delight and to enjoy it. So God is delighted in you because you are his son or daughter. But the things that we do are not always pleasing to God. There's some things we do that are not pleasing to God. That's certainly true with my own dad. I remember specifically my dad was not very pleased when I was riding in the back of his pickup truck and I flipped off a lady that was walking by. And I just had learned how to do that. I was in fourth grade and thought it would be cool. My dad didn't think it was funny. He was not pleased. My dad was not pleased with me when I would do things that would hurt his other children. That did not please him. My dad was not pleased when we stole candy from the grocery store and he made us go back and say sorry and return it. My dad was not pleased when I had a permit and I crashed his pickup into my sister's car, and he wasn't especially proud of that decision. And so there's things in our life that we do that actually aren't pleasing to God. It's because God is unconditionally in love with us, it doesn't mean that every single thing we do is pleasing to him or he approves of. And so I think there's kind of that tension. Is that possible to really be loved all the time and yet have some actions that he's not pleased with? Is it possible to know that God's not pleased with some of the things I do and yet know that he's loves me unconditionally? Sometimes I think we try to take away from those in that tension, but they're both true. And I think I'm learning more and more how to walk in those things, how to put those together. And Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5:9. He says, we make it our goal to please him. We try to please God all the time. Whether we are at home in the body, meaning we're alive and we're here, or we're away from it, whether we die and we leave the body, we make it our goal to always please God. There is a way that pleases God, and there are things that don't please God. And the main thing that brings pleasure to God in our actions is when we trust in him. And every small act that is done in faith pleases God. Even if we bring just a cup of cold water to someone because of faith in Christ, he rewards that and remembers that and honors that. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Without faith, we cannot please him. Let me just talk about a few things that it's not. It's not trying to be perfect that pleases God. It is not trying to do all the right works that pleases God, but it's having faith in Him. It's trusting Him that pleases Him. It's when, even though I know I'm broken or I know I've messed up, I look to Him. I stop just looking to myself. When we look to God, when we put our trust in Him, when we do what we do out of faith in Him, that pleases God. The first thing he adds there is that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so one act of trusting God is just to seek him. Anytime we come to God in prayer, seeking him, in faith, going after him, he is pleased. Whether or not it's a feels like a great prayer time or whether or not anything, when we seek God, it pleases Him. Because in faith, we're coming and saying, I know you reward. I know you will give me something. I know you are good. I'm trusting in Him. That's why we pray, because we trust Him. If we're not trusting Him, there's no reason to pray. We're just trusting ourselves. When we seek Him, it pleases Him. I like how John Piper says it. At root, what God delights in about us is that we delight in Him. What really pleases God, what makes Him smile, is when we are happy with Him, when we enjoy Him. When we find joy and satisfaction and delight in God, that brings joy to His heart. We also show that we trust God and we bring pleasure to God when we know who we truly are and we live as such. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. That's so true. Anyone in Christ, we were once darkness. Man, I know exactly what that means. Broken and lost and just groping around in the dark, looking for something to numb the pain. But now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. So he's saying, this is who we are. We're children of light. Let's live like that. In Christ, we've been made new. Let's live like that. In Christ, we're totally forgiven. Let's live like that. In Christ, I'm holy and righteous. Let's live like that. In Christ, we are loved and valued and precious and chosen. Let's live like that. And when we do that, we live in faith, and that pleases God. He's pleased by that faith that comes out of knowing who we are. And when we don't live out of that place of knowing who we are, we live out of this place of trying to be somebody, trying to prove ourselves, trying to earn something, trying to make a name for ourselves, trying to present an image, not really knowing who we are. And we live out of this kind of false self. It doesn't bring any pleasure to God. It's just us trying to please ourselves or trying to please other people. It pleases God and it shows our trust in Him when we walk in the Spirit. And so walking in the Spirit, to me, that means being aware of our connection with Him and relying on Him. Moment by moment, as we walk in the Spirit, where we are, we know that He is in us and we're walking in faith, allowing Him to do His work. Trusting that what comes out of us, He can use it, that He does the real work, submitting to Him, allowing His goodness to flow from us. Romans 14, 17 through 18, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's not all these things that we do, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Anyone who serves Christ through the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, we have righteousness, peace, joy. Anyone who lives in that way pleases God. Again, that's just a way of walking in faith. Another, just a final way of walking in faith is that we bring pleasure to God when we show faith by being faithful with what God has asked of us. And so we show that we trust Him when He asks us to do things and we do those. In Hebrews 13:16, do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. And in our lives, God has given us each certain places to be and things to do and certain people to love. He's put people in our lives directly around us that He's called us to touch and to speak to and to share goodness with, to be good to and to show hospitality and to share with. And there's people in our lives that God has entrusted to us. And when we are faithful with that, what God has given us, it pleases God. We walk in faith in that, and it brings pleasure to Him. And it makes God smile. Matthew 25:21, His master replied, Jesus is telling a story about how a master gave some different servants things to be entrusted with, some different amounts of money. And one of the servants just wasted his money. It doesn't really matter. My master's given me some money, and I'll just bury it in a hole, and I'll give it back to him. And the other ones were faithful to use what God had given them. Whether God gave them a lot or God gave them a little, they were faithful just to use it. And at the end of it, his master replied, well done to the servant who had used what God had given him. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. What an amazing phrase. Come and share in your master's happiness. When we know that we bring a smile to God, I think it's the greatest delight in life is to share in God's delight. Greater than any of the places that we can seek for pleasure, greater than anybody else enjoying us or saying good things about us, when we know that God is pleased with us, there is a greater joy than we can possibly find anywhere else. When we were at Faith Camp, one of the speakers shared a story that I really liked. And what he was saying is to imagine a dad who heard that his son wanted a bicycle. And so he kept thinking, oh yeah, I should get him a bicycle. And finally, one day on his way home from work, he stopped and bought a bicycle. And he brought the bicycle, and he brought it home, and he set it outside, just a little ways out from the front door. And then he went inside, and he knocked on the door and told his son, hey, come out, I have something for you. And so he comes out, and the dad is standing behind the bicycle, and the son walks out of the door, and there's the bicycle right there in front of the dad. And the dad's so excited, his son's coming out, he's like, oh man, he's going to be so pleased. And the son walks out, and he walks right past the bicycle and comes to his dad, like, yeah, dad, my dad is happy. That's the greatest treasure I could ever have. My dad loves me and is excited for me. Oh, there's a bicycle there too. Of course, Summer's like, man, I'm going straight for the bicycle. But if we really knew the happiness that we bring God, that would be our greatest delight. There's no greater delight than knowing that the God who created you and loved you delights in you, that He finds joy in you, that you make His heart sing, that you bring joy to Him. Could there be anything greater than to connect with that? And God is not a God who's hard to please, who jumps on every little thing we do wrong. God is a God who's very easy to please, who is pleased with the smallest act and is pleased with us just for who we are, whether we ever do anything. But every little act of faith brings a pleasure to God that brings something so good to this universe. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I just want to read the way I wrote it. What pleases God? It's not perfection. He is not calling us to perfection. He is not withholding his pleasure until we reach perfection. He is pleased when we are not perfect, but trust in the perfect one, which is him. He is pleased with every choice, although it is tainted with our human imperfection that is done in faith. With every choice that is done, knowing that he sees, that is done out of goodwill for his children, that comes from that place of not trying to earn acceptance, that comes from that place of not seeking the praise of others, but from that place of knowing how loved we are, knowing who he has truly made us to be, and living out of that place. Everything that comes out of who we truly are honors God and brings pleasure to him. I want you to know today that you bring God pleasure. Your life brings him pleasure. May we truly absorb that and in the depths of our being feel that and enjoy that. And even for me, who's hardly ever satisfied with living up to my own expectations, maybe you're in that same boat. Maybe you have some of your own perfectionism. Maybe you've given up on trying to please God because you think he could never be pleased with you. But may we know that he enjoys us. Amen. God, I thank you for delighting in us. I imagine you just smiling over us as we sleep in our little beds. I imagine you singing and dancing over us. I imagine you delighting in us. And God, I thank you that our faith delights you. I want to continue to bring you delight. May we walk in that. In Jesus' name, amen.